Softly, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come together because you are our Lord. Father, we could be doing all kinds of things this morning, things we used to do when we were out in the world, but then you came and became our Lord, and you told us to gather with you in this house, Father, and that's why we've come this morning. Though we enjoy fellowship with one another, though we love one another, we like talking to one another, that's not why we came to this building this morning. We came to talk to you, Father, and just have you be able to talk back to us. Lord, I commit myself to you. Lord, I don't want to say my own words. They won't do anything. But Lord, your word is eternal. One word from you is worth more than anything we could ever say. Father, and I pray this morning you'd have the full preeminence. You'd be able to come speak through me. Lord, hear through our hearts. Lord, and may you receive the glory this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Commit this service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's get our Bibles out together this morning. Sure appreciate Dad leading those songs and getting in the spirit, going right down, going with the spirit of the message. I believe that a song leader, if he's sincere, finds the mind of the Lord, it'll lead him right down the way that'll set the service up. Amen? I believe that. Turn to Psalms chapter 75. We've got a couple verses, might do a little flipping here, but I won't be reading too much. Psalm 75, starting at verse 6. Good to hear those swords flying out there. I appreciate that. Psalm 75, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Psalms 82, 8. It's a couple pages after that. 82, verse 8. Arise, O God, judge of the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Amen. One more scripture real quick here. Isaiah chapter 33. A couple books after there. Isaiah 33. I think you'll get the correlation here maybe after we read this one. Isaiah 33, down to verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us.
Yes.
Amen. I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord. And he shall be called the judge. Last week we talked about him being the advocate, being our attorney. Today I want to talk about him being the judge. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've read your word. We just ask that you bring the inspiration to bring into our hearts and to bring fruit of yourself in our lives. We commit to you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. He shall be called the judge. All kinds of directions you could take this. I'm going to start with a definition here. Coming out of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, of course, .com nowadays. You know, we don't read books anymore. We type it in Google. But anyways, the definition of judge. A judge is one who judges, a public official authorized to decide questions brought before a court. So let me say it right there. A judge is not just a man who thinks he can decide on what questions, how questions should be answered. He's authorized, which means he has a credential behind him. Amen. We know the book of Judges talks about that, but I don't want to go that route. Another definition is one appointed to decide in a contest or competition, just like an umpire. God is a judge. He's the one that calls the shots. One who gives an authoritative opinion. And the last one is a critic. A critic. So God is our judge. Not man, not denomination, not somebody's dogma. God is the judge of the souls of men. And not even us, but the whole world. He is the supreme, the one and only judge. Amen. Trying to think what direction I want to go here. First is, who is this God then? As we read in Psalms, it says God is the judge. Amen. Then in Isaiah, it said the Lord is the judge. If we keep reading, we'll find out that it says Jesus is the judge. Kind of takes the Trinity right out the right feet right underneath it real quick, don't it? It doesn't make sense if God's the judge and then the Lord. Is that the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost? Which one is it? Then it comes around and says Jesus is the judge of the whole earth. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I'm really tempted now. But let me read this. Let's turn to Revelations 1 real quick so I can backdrop this. I want to make sure you know who is the judge. And then we'll get into what that means to us. Revelations 1. Starting at verse 12. Revelations 1, 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man, may I ask you? It's Jesus Christ. Now this is one like unto the Son of Man. I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I'm going to try to hold back as much as I can right now. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His hair was white. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as they burn in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. So as John sees this man come out, the Son of Man, and if you read on down, it says he fell down as one dead. The Jesus that everybody saw on earth that they could push around, they could hit him in the face and he wouldn't do nothing. He turned the other cheek. This ain't the Jesus that John saw. The Jesus John saw had white hair, like wool. And that wasn't because he was old or something, or he had become the Father or whatever you want. No, he was supreme authority over heaven and earth. He said, all power is given unto me, said Jesus Christ. You know how the old judges used to wear the white wigs to show, I am the supreme one right here. I'm the one that calls the shots. And Jesus' hair was white like wool because he had become the supreme judge. Uh-huh. And everything you read here is about judgment. So when Jesus Christ comes the second time, it's not going to be Rosie Parks, all right? It's going to be doomsday. Yes. If you see Christ come like this, you're going to be terrified. You're going to be running. It was so bad they ran for the rocks that the rocks will kill them so they don't have to see the Lamb. Right. That ain't the normal Lamb that we think of, but he's coming with judgment. God is the judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. They're the same person. He was girt about, it said, not at his waist now. If he was girt about at his waist, he'd be a priest because they would wear that and they would come and give their offerings and be able to use that. He was girt up here, which means he was girt at like a judge would be with his mantle on. I am the supreme authority in this place. You know how the judges wear their robes or whatever they got now. That's the show. So you know who they are. And that's why he was girt up here. He used to be down here. When he came the first time, he came to serve man. He came to save man. He came to be our priest, to stand in our place. Amen. But when he comes the second time, he's going to move it up because he's not coming with a happy motive, all right? It's doomsday for those that have rejected him.
Amen. Sure.
His eyes were a flame of fire. I think that goes without explaining. If I look at you with eyes of fire, I'm not happy about something. And he ain't happy right now. Now, I understand it's pretty doom and gloom, but we'll get to this. His feet were as brass as burned in a furnace. And if any time you read in the Bible what brass stands for, it stands for judgment. One time, I think it was the book of Judges, it said, I can't remember for sure, don't quote me on that, but it said the skies became as brass. And they could. What it does is it separates God and man again. Because all you do is be able to, your sins, you go to confess them, and they hit this layer of brass in the sky, and it comes right back down upon you again. Uh-huh. That's what happens when you reject the atonement that we talked about for the first 2 months we had this church. Christ is coming as the judge. Coming out of the Patmos vision, the same scripture, Brother Branham, in the Church Age book. It says, there he stands, one like unto the Son of Man. As a jewel is beautified by the mounting of the ring, so is he glorified in the midst of the churches. It is the Lord's day. For John sees him standing, not as a priest, but as the coming judge. The golden girdle is no longer girt about the waist where the priest must wear it as he ministers to God in the holiest place, but is now around the shoulders, for he is not now the priest, but the judge. Now look what the Bible says. John 5:22, Jesus said, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
Amen.
So how can the Bible say that God is the judge, and that Jesus' own word is, the Father's not the judge, I'm the judge. The Son's the judge. The Father committed all judgment to the Son if they're not the same person.
Amen.
The Bible contradicts itself. It said the Father was in the Old Testament. He's the one that judges these things.
Uh-huh.
That only proves that that manifestation of God and Spirit is not what will judge us. That was before the eternal. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying. Before anything ever came to be. But when God manifested in flesh and came down, that is the judgment that will strike the earth. Because
sure.
He'll be able to say, I did it.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the Old Testament, they might have said, God, we couldn't have done this. We couldn't live right. We had to live sinful. We died with Adam. Then Christ came and showed him, no, you can do it. Watch. I'll show you. That's any good coach. Good coach don't just yell at you and tell you how to do it. He'll get down there and do it for you.
Uh-huh.
This is what I want you to do. That's a good coach, and who's a better coach than Christ?
Amen.
And then he didn't leave it that way either. He didn't just give us a good example and say, look, I'm way up here. You can never do this. But he came down and died in your place. That the same Spirit that allowed him to live that way could live in us.
Amen.
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 So what will judge us at the end of the day? Who's the judge? How will he judge? John 12:48. We'll get to the good part here shortly.
Oh, it's all good.
Amen. Amen. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ even recognized, it's not me as some human. That's not what's judging. It's the fact that I have come as the Word. And the Word that came out of him, pure and clean. Look, he never said one word, but was God's Word.
Sure.
He's not like us that we have to pray through sometimes to be able to say the right thing and have the right thoughts. He didn't have to do that. He knew it. He knew when the devil was talking. He knew not to listen. We're the ones that get all confused. We're the ones that don't trust the Holy Ghost. We trust our own intellect, and we wonder why we get messed up.
Amen.
Don't do that. Trust the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
If a thought comes contrary to the Word, it says, hey, buddy, you're still a sinner. But wait, I received the Holy Ghost. How does that make sense?
Amen.
And we sit there and won't reason with him.
Yeah, that's right.
And we wonder why we get defeated so quickly. Jesus didn't play around with the devil on that. He even came and said, if you be the Son of God, make these stones into bread. Which, what was the response that time? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You guys, you remember, Brother Kent, which one was the response?
Turn these stones to bread.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's what he said there.
Amen.
He knew he wasn't living off his flesh. He wasn't living off his feel good. He was living off the Word.
Amen.
Because he was the
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you go, okay, how can God judge the world? And then Christ judge the world. And then Christ say his Word will judge the world. Sounds like we got a bunch of judges jumping around here, right? Starting to sound like Trinity all over again. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word
was
God.
Amen. Amen.
There you go. The Word is God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So there you go. That puts the whole picture together. God, as the eternal judge, sat on the throne. And he's never had to leave the throne as the Spirit God. He's always been there. When Christ came on earth, he was still on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that the Son of Man was on earth and in heaven at the same time. Because God can do whatever he wants.
Yes.
Some people, if you go into oneness doctrine, that's why you got to be careful and get into that stuff. The message ain't teaching the oneness doctrine. Oneness doctrine says when Christ came down, the throne was empty in heaven. Because he'd come down. That's nonsense. My God's omniscient.
Right.
He's all powerful. He's omnipresent.
Amen.
By his omniscience.
Amen.
Yep.
And he can sit on heaven with his Spirit and bring his flesh down here and call it the Son and let it walk on earth at the same time. He ain't captured by time. He doesn't have to deal with time. God lives in the eternal. It doesn't mean a thing to him. So Christ will judge the world. How? By his Word, because he is the Word. And that Word is God. First John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life.
Amen.
So the Word isn't just something printed down on a book. It's a person.
Right.
And that person is Christ.
Amen.
He's the judge. So when you come up to the Word of God, you can't read this like a newspaper. You can't read it like a dictionary. You can't read it like a textbook. It's a person. And these are just attributes of that person. who will judge us, which is Christ. Romans 14. Let's go there together.
Amen.
Romans 14. Starting at verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Let's go to verse 8. Skip down there. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So that takes the responsibility off our shoulders pretty quick. Amen. Look, it's not my responsibility to make sure Brother Ken ain't got sin in his life.
Right?
Now if he's an honest brother and he comes up and says, Brother, you see something wrong? And I see him doing something? If I love him, I can tell him in a way that he knows I'm looking for his benefit. Amen. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens by the divine nature of love.
Amen.
If you ever rebuke somebody out of hate, out of malice, you're not concerned about them, you hope they die and go to hell, you're a hypocrite. Christ never did that.
Amen.
He rebuked people for their sake. Because he knew, if you believe this lie, you will go to hell. If you don't believe that I'm the Son of God, you won't make it. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life in you. He wasn't saying that to exalt himself. He was telling them fact. You have to eat the word.
Amen.
That's why when he said that, he wasn't talking about his literal body, or we'd be cannibals.
Amen.
We'd be vampires because he's dead now. We have to go eat his body, suck his blood. That's not what he meant. He was the word of life.
Amen.
And it's both his body, accepting what he has done for us, and his blood, which has the life in it that comes into us.
Amen.
To live the same life through us that lived through him.
Sure.
He is the judge, and we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And I want to read, I got to keep reading this because Dad sang that song. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. I don't care, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, you pick them. The most stubborn atheists in the world you've met. Because I hate God, I ain't going to worship him. They will hear. Every knee shall bow.
Amen.
Every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So you're the only one responsible for your actions.
Uh-huh.
All right, the preacher ain't, your wife ain't, your husband ain't, your children aren't. It's your fault what you do and what you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my brother, you don't know my life. It's too hard. Don't matter to God.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you the power to overcome. The Bible says you're never tempted above what you can handle.
That's right.
Because he'll give you a way of escape every time a temptation comes.
Amen.
So we need to choose. When do you want to be judged? Because it just said, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But I thought he that was past the death and the life doesn't come into the judgment.
Right.
Isn't that what the Bible says?
Amen.
It does say that.
Amen.
1 Timothy 5:24. Let me read this. Hey, if you want to write it down, that's fine. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Which means they're confessed. And what happens? They go into the blood. And they've already been taken care of before the judgment.
Amen.
Some men, they follow after. That's where we don't want to be this morning.
Right. Amen.
Preparation, 1953. If I asked you how'd I get across the Ohio River here, you'd say the bridge. That's right. Everybody says, by faith are you saved. Christ is the way. And that's right. Christ is the way. But how do you get to Christ? Now there's his body. The Bible said, not by one letter, not by one's confession, not by one's profession, but by one spirit. Are we baptized into one body? Into the body of Christ, which has already been judged. And we're free from judgment. How do you get free from judgment? Get in Christ.
Amen.
Because Christ was judged.
Amen.
He was judged faithful. He was judged holy.
Amen.
And if you be in him, when he died on the cross, you're justified.
Yes, you are.
Amen.
And we're free from judgment. We're just as sure as God raised his body from the dead, the church will go up just as he did.
Exactly.
All that are in Christ Jesus. Question and answer 54. Christ comes three times. The first time he came to redeem his church. Is that right? The second time, he comes to receive his church. The third time, he comes with his church. See, he comes to redeem her. He comes to rapture her and be caught away. And in the time of the plagues and so forth, returns back to the millennium, lives through the millennium. Now watch this. And then, when the millennium sets in, and then the king, the great king and queen, come down for the judgment.
Amen.
Whew, we're getting to something good here now. The white throne judgment set. The books are open. And there stands the redeemed, Holy Ghost born church of the living God, standing there in her beauty to judge.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
The books were opened. Judgment was set, and every man was judged thus. That was the sinner. And another book was opened, not for the Holy Ghost bride. She'll never take it, because she's in the rapture. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, amen?
Amen.
If you're filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, and God's power is moving in every fiber of your body, what good would it do for you to stand in the judgment? You're already judged.
Amen.
And been received. Amen. And been filled. It already translated into heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Not you will be. You are right now translated.
Amen.
Because God ain't worried about this time. Like I said before, time don't matter to God.
Amen.
Second, you're in the body. You're going to make it. You can't get out.
Amen.
You've been sealed. And if something gets sealed by somebody who knows what they're doing, nothing getting out, nothing coming in.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Amen. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And we stand justified in Christ before him because he cannot pass judgment, for he's already judged that body in which I am a part of.
Amen. I am too.
Me.
Amen.
I need to know that I'm a part of this body.
Amen.
Not brother so-and-so. Not my church is a part of the body. No, it's the individual.
Amen. Amen.
A church is not a building.
Yes, sir.
It never will be. It's never a group. Revelation.
Right.
It's you and God.
Amen.
Are you part of the body? You'll be there.
Amen.
Your whole church is filled with hypocrites. Your pastor drinks, smokes, does whatever he wants to do. And you stay true to the word, you're going to make it.
Amen.
It don't matter. No, you're not going to give an account for nobody else. You'll give an account for yourself.
Amen.
I'm a part of what? How am I part of it? Here it is. It's in me.
Amen.
The word of life.
Amen.
It was bodied up in a man called Jesus Christ. And we were all there. I'm just going to have to read it. It's just too good. I don't want to paraphrase these things.
Amen.
You hope you're ready for this one. This about knocked my socks off when I read this. 1965, God of this evil age. And when the entire word of God, incomplete, the entire word, of God, incomplete, was headed up in a human body called Jesus Christ. How many believe that the Word of God became flesh, which was
Amen.
Jesus Christ? And then every son of God, every daughter of God, was right in Him at that time.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
In there, God made me pay for my sins.
Amen.
In Him there.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Woo! My! Then He rose me. Raised me up with Him in the resurrection. Doesn't that take it to just amazing grace?
Amen.
Look, you had to pay for your sins. And Christ, look, I did pay for my sins in Christ, but Christ made the decision for me.
Amen.
What glory do I have? I have to make the choice, and He did it anyway.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's amazing grace. I don't have to save myself.
Amen. Amen.
I need to pay for my sins. I did it because I died in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
In there, God made me pay for my sins.
Amen.
Oh, it's so good. Then He rose me, raised me up with Him in the resurrection, and now we are seated with Him with power and authority over every devil.
Amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. Oh, if you could only believe what God has given.
Amen.
If you could only
Amen.
Believe what God has given us.
Amen.
Now watch this. But if you're not seated there, you don't have it. So you ain't been born again in the Spirit of God, just don't mean nothing.
Right.
You don't got no authority over the devil. He can do whatever he wants in your life.
That's right. Amen.
But if you're seated there, or if you're not seated there, you don't have it. Now watch this. If you're seated there and don't believe it, and afraid to move, you'll never use it.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
So like I said, it's like God handing you a spiritual AK-47, and you're afraid of it.
That's right.
I might not know how to use this right.
Yeah.
You don't think your father knew when the time was to give you that gun? Yeah, when I was a little baby, my dad wouldn't have handed me no gun like that. He wouldn't hand me his shotgun when I was a little kid. But when I grew up and I got to age,
yes,
all right, son, let me teach you. And what's the Holy Spirit here to do? To teach us, to lead us, to guide us in how to be spiritual.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
To show us that we have power and authority.
Amen.
That I've already been judged. I don't have to worry about condemnation. As we talked about in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. How can there be no condemnation? Because I'm already judged.
Amen.
It's the same question was settled on Calvary. I don't need Christ to come die again. I don't need to die. Why would I have to die? That means God judged himself twice. Because he's in me. And if I have to die for my sins with him in me, that means Christ died two times for sin.
Right.
The Bible is saying that he died once for all.
Amen.
That was it. And my representation that's in me was in Christ for all eternity.
Sure.
It's always been there.
Amen.
I can't get away from it.
No way.
You can't. If you're a real son of God, God will sit there and keep knocking. He'll keep knocking. He won't let you go.
Amen.
Because it's himself.
Amen.
He's not going to let himself be lost.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise Amen.
God. That's good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
See, brother, I didn't know I'm free. So I believe that, but for some reason I'm still afraid. Look what Brother Bram, you ever heard about the red heifer they would have to kill in the Old Testament? And there was a water of separation they'd have to use in that sacrament, which was supposed to separate the believer from his guilt.
Uh-huh.
From his sin, from his shame. That's what that water of separation was sent. Let me show you, Brother Bram said it, and I love this title, Redemption by Judgment. And I'm just going to spill the beans. What does that mean? Redemption by judgment? I thought judgment would send me to hell. How am I being redeemed by judgment? Look, when God said, the day you sin, that day you die, he had to obey by that. He can't be a hypocrite. God ain't no hypocrite. When man sinned, he said, you will die. So that judgment had to go somewhere. And if that judgment didn't fall on something else, you're done. You can't be redeemed. Judgment had to come.
Amen.
Why do you think Christ came?
Amen. Amen.
He had to take that judgment. We can never be redeemed.
Amen.
Redemption came by judgment on Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Which sets us so free. There ain't no judgment for us no more.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We can only believe what God has given us.
Amen.
Redemption by judgment. It's 1954. Paragraph 45. But the 19th chapter, it was made a waters of separation. That if any man had did wrong, any man, this is Old Testament, any man done wrong, or anything, these ashes of this heifer, that beast, was placed upon him, and he was separated from his guilt. Oh my, so when guilt comes back in your mind and says, look what you did, buddy.
Oh.
No, the water separation came.
Right.
I don't have guilt.
Amen.
Because I was in the blood.
Amen.
I don't have to go back and make that. It's done.
Amen.
Sure.
It was eradicated. God don't even remember it no more.
Amen. That's good.
If he was unclean, then this was a water of separation.
Amen.
As a memorial through all the generations to know that this heifer, a selected heifer, a special heifer, and the blood stood between him and the church.
Amen.
And the ashes of it made a separation between him and his guilt. Oh my, when you see that and place it on Christ Jesus, if you can only take that and really apply it to when Christ died, he came to be the separation between us and our guilt.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
How that when we do guilt, we look at the separation. He who stood at the judgment there and his blood was dipped from his body and sprinkled across the earth between that and God's holy tabernacle, that every believer... Oh, not just the pastor. I guess we don't got Nicolaitanism no more, do we? Not just the preacher, not just the deacon, not just the song leader, or whatever. It's every believer. Coming into his presence, breaking through the veil of the flesh, putting away the things of the world, knows that the blood makes an atonement, the waters of separation. And God, through his mercy, has washed us and separated us by the washing of the word, by the waters, and separated his church from the things of the world unto a separated, consecrated life to live for him.
Amen.
So he has done this.
Amen.
And once you've accepted it, you receive the Holy Ghost, you've got to have faith in what he has done.
Amen.
And that it's settled.
Amen.
It's settled in his mind. When you sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
I go to him, I repent, it's gone. God don't care no more.
Amen.
It's over. Walking in this present world without condemnation, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus that walk down to the flesh, but has been separated by the water through the word, has anointed them by the Holy Ghost, and the ashes of separation has been sprinkled upon the individual.
Amen.
So that it's been sprinkled on me. Christ died for me.
Amen.
If I would have been the only sinner to ever come on the earth, Christ still would have done everything he did.
Yes, he did. Amen.
Because he was that concerned with you, with me. And the ashes of separation has been sprinkled upon the individual, and he walks in this present world free from condemnation by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if you can really get free from condemnation and stay free, you'll be an invincible army. Because you'll know who you are, what you stand for, and nothing's ever going to come against that.
Amen.
The gates of hell cannot prevail. Amen. So we choose when we're judged. Do you want to be judged in this life? Or do you want to be judged on the white throne judgment? That's our choice. Redemption by judgment again. Now this word, the word of God, will judge every person. This word that's been preached here this morning, it's been preached down there at Wall Street, preached down at the Christian church, down at the Presbyterian church. Wherever the word is being preached, it becomes the judgment. Because the Bible said, in the house of God, judgment starts.
Yes.
Amen.
Men are judged by the word of God. And here's one good thing to know, that we either, our judgment goes before us, or it will follow after us. If you don't want to accept that, you don't want to get the Spirit of God, you're too afraid to take these promises, you want to take up the white throne judgment? That's your other choice. It's A or B. There ain't no C, none of the above on this quiz. And you will be there. And you can't hide nothing then. You can't reason with him then. He's supreme authority. And he knows every little thing you thought, done, wanted to do. Doesn't matter. You can try to hide it. It'll be exposed right there.
Sure.
As that one man said as he went to the white throne, and I think it was in a dream, he said, the little white lies I had done, they became great big lies in that presence. Because imagine standing in that presence, and I really just put yourself there. Well, there ain't nobody but you. You look around, it's all white. There ain't nobody there to stand for you no more. Because you've rejected the advocate. You have to go to trial by yourself now. You have to be your own attorney. You're standing there and you see the great white light so bright you can't look at it. So holy that angels had to cover their face because they're not pure enough compared to God's holiness.
Amen.
If we don't get a revelation that Christ gave us his holiness.
Amen.
And you have to stand there and stand for yourself. That's not going to be a very good day. And that's why Brother Bram said, cut me open, burn me on fire, take out my insides. Don't let me never go to white throne judgment. Now, you're going to be at the judgment one way or another. So we read that before. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But if you do it now, you'll be at the judgment, but you won't be getting judged.
Amen.
You'll be back here on the throne.
Amen.
As king and queen.
Praise God.
And that's where the church belongs.
Right.
On the throne. Now, I'm going to throw this scripture in here. It's going to set me up for where I wanted to take this, the Lord willing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You enjoying that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that. First Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you. So look, he made this plain. He wasn't talking in a type or anything. He said, the saints will judge the world. And he says, you will. You're the saints. You'll be judged by you. Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now again, what did we read earlier? It says God is the judge. It didn't say a judge. He said he is the judge. It said the Lord was the judge. It said Christ was the judge. Christ said his word's the judge. And now it says the saints are the judge. How can that all work? How can that all come together? Remember we read about one like the Son of Man? That was Christ.
Uh-huh.
But you got to remember what Christ is. Christ ain't just male. He's also female.
Amen.
He's one. Remember he was bottled up. Everybody was there. Christ and the bride was one when Christ came on earth. It wasn't until after he had died, after he had been stabbed, that the bride was separated from him to be manifested.
Right.
Because the life was always the same.
Amen.
It's never been changed. The bride had a lesser life of Christ. It's the same life in a different form, in a different position. But it's the same life with the same power over the devil.
Amen.
And if he's the judge, the bride's the judge.
Amen.
Brother Branham, he says this twice. And I'm going to read both. About the one like the Son of Man that we read in Revelations 1. 54 of the seven church ages. Now, that's the Bible. That's what the Spirit says. See, the candlesticks. All right. Now, the 13th verse. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. What? One like him. Who was it? His bride.
Amen.
one like him. Watch how it was. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, the holiness of Jesus Christ covering her. She was holy now because of what Christ had done. Has washed us from our sins with his own blood. All right. Gird about the paps. Not a man, a woman. Woo! Man, that made me want to dance. With a golden girdle. The gospel that held the power and the glory of God over the body of Christ. Oh, what a beautiful picture we got here under consideration. Looky here. Down to the foot. Gird about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair white like wool. White as snow. Righteousness. Holiness. White speaks of. And his eyes like flame of fire. Look down through it. Says the bride. Coming in the same judgment. Brass always is judgment, you know. The brazen altar, the brass serpent, so forth. Brass speaks of judgment. His feet then, the church of Jesus Christ, is set upon divine judgment. Christ dying in our stead, the just one, paying our judgment up there at before God and died there as a sinner on the cross. His soul ascended into hell. 58, we are not a denomination. Now if you look, notice in Revelations 1, we find Jesus standing in the seven church ages, the seven golden candlesticks, when he turned and so on, like the Son of Man standing with a, how was it? It was a bride standing in the candlesticks drawn out. So how one is Christ and the bride? So one, that when he says, I will judge the whole world, that he's allowed to let the bride do it, it's still him doing it. Because the life's exactly the same. It's the same person in a different manifestation. You would call Adam and Eve Adam before the fall. You would call Christ and his bride Jesus Christ. We've already went through that. What's the bride's name? Christ.
Amen.
And we can go through that one like the Son of Man. Yes, it's Christ, but it's Christ. You got to be more specific sometimes. It's the bride.
Amen.
It's Christ in bride form coming to judge the earth.
Amen. Sure.
I wish I could remember the quote, but I believe Brother Branham said that the bride will bring the judgments down in this generation. And if I'm wrong, forgive me, but I still believe that. Who's going to tell the world that judgment's coming? Who's going to do it besides the bride? These denominational churches? Oh, the one down there that has ATMs in the back of the church so you can go get your offering when they ask for it? They're going to get the truth there. They're the church that's telling them that judgment's coming, that your money don't mean anything, and that if you don't get your soul right, you're going to hell. Yeah, that's what they're teaching. No, they ain't. They want their money because they're inspired by the devil.
Sure.
What do you think Judas was? He walked right there with Jesus for 3 years and all he wanted was money the whole time. So bad that when the woman came and anointed Jesus, he said, why was this waste made? We could have sold that and gave it to the poor. And the Bible says he didn't care about the poor. He wanted the money. Yeah. Look how terrible this man is. And it was so under the radar that only Christ saw it.
Right. Amen.
Who's going to judge this world? Who's going to show this world where their errors are? The life of the bride. Now I ain't talking about you going around pointing, you're the devil, you're the devil, you're the devil. No, you live righteousness, they'll be condemned. They'll condemn themselves.
Sure.
God, I can't stand before that. I can't do what you do. You live holy. I know it's right, but it don't matter. I can't do it. Because I'm a sinner by nature. And they're exactly right. Amen. If you're not converted, you'll never live holy.
Amen.
You'll never be worthy. You're going to the white throne by yourself. And we could go through what Brother Branham says. She is bone of his bone, body, flesh of his flesh, power of his power, life of his life. She is him.
Amen.
It's the Son of Man again, walking on earth. Brother Branham didn't say he was the Son of Man walking on earth. But he said, I'm one of them. I'm one of them walking on earth. It's Jesus Christ made flesh again in me.
Amen.
But he didn't limit that to say it's only me. It's the bride.
Amen.
Any man that's been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're the Son of Man revealed. Amen. Because this day it was prophesied to happen. Luke 17:30.
Amen.
The days that the Son of Man is revealed, which is now.
Amen.
That was 50 years ago. We're finally figuring it out.
Sure.
But it's been there the whole time. It ain't no hidden mystery. They've had these same messages for the years. What's taking so long? They had to wait on me. Amen. I was born 50 years ago.
Amen.
I'm a predestinated seed of God.
Amen.
And Christ knew that. He knows every single one that'll make it. If you're diddly down around with God and you're going to make it, you're only holding everybody else back.
Amen.
Time to give your heart to the Lord so we can go home.
Amen. Sure.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Power Transformation 65. How far does Brother Branham take this, you think, Dad? How far? Pretty all the way, yeah. We don't do halfway things in Christianity. Power Transformation 65. And whatever Christ was, I am.
Amen.
Whatever he is, what he is, I am. Oh God, if he is considered a fanatic, so must I be. So why are we surprised? Why are we surprised when people think, you're crazy, this doctrine's nuts. It did to Christ. They said the same thing. We're going to eat your flesh, drink your blood. Yeah, right. You're going to come on the right hand of the Father. We watched you work down the sweatshops. Just a picture. He was poor.
Right.
His parents were so poor they couldn't give the right offering.
Right.
They had to give the substitutionary one.
That's right.
That got a lot for the poor.
Right.
It just imagine. Even with Brother Branham, I think sometimes we get desensitized from these things. This guy was born in a old rugged, what was it, cottage or something, falling apart.
Uh-huh.
That's where the prophet of Malachi 4 was born. Who would have thought? I'm sure he would have been out there in some old time. No, God don't work that way. Else, why did the Son of God come that way? The Son of God didn't even have a place to be born. He didn't have a hospital.
Uh-uh.
Imagine if God sent us a prophet and he didn't even have a hospital to be born in this day. What do we think about that? Mm. Oh, you're not good enough for us. That's how Christ comes. He comes such a humble way, you stomp him right over the top of him, never even know it.
Right.
Trying to serve him. That's how the devil deceived you.
Sure.
Say, oh, God's in this big, blah, doing this and that. Blah. No, that's not how he does things. You speak the word, it can be so humble, it doesn't matter, it'll come to pass.
Yes, it will.
My gums don't hurt no more, church.
Amen.
That was a week ago.
Amen.
And you don't think the devil's telling you got to change his fighters, buddy. Your teeth are done, they're going to rot out. I didn't accept none of that garbage.
Amen.
You can keep your rattlesnakes, devil.
Amen.
God told me I'm healed.
Amen.
And I had the saints pray with me, and I believe it.
Amen.
Sure enough, when I woke up this morning, I was like, praise God, it only took a week. Faith and patience, right? I was willing to wait a week. Practice when I preached a little bit. And it got better ever since then. Every day it felt a little bit better. So praise be to God. Whatever Christ was, I am. I'm reading again here from
Amen.
Power Transformation. What he is, I am. God, oh God, if he was considered a fanatic, so must I be. If he was a Beelzebub, and by his works of the Spirit, I am too. Whatever he was, I am. Whatever he was, you are.
Amen.
Don't let me act like I'm just saying me now. Any man with the Spirit
Amen.
Of God, any woman, any child. That's got the Holy Ghost, you're in the same position I am.
Amen.
There ain't no big eyes, little U's in Christ. It's just Christ. You're either Christ or you're not Christ. You're afraid to use it? Sickness comes in the house, you're afraid to claim it? What if it don't happen? Where do you think that thought came from? Yeah, Christ told you a promise and then say, oh, but it might not happen. I'm not going to tell you why it's not going to happen. That's what we call a deceiver, all right? Let's call it what it is. We must be that. We must be the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. I lived with him on the earth. He said, personal Paul, I lived with him on the earth because I was in Christ. I lived with him on the earth. When he lived, I died with him. When he died, I rose. When he rose, I'm assembled and am seated with him now in heavenly places because I'm part of him. Wherever he is, there I am.
Amen.
Where my servant is, there will I be also.
Glory.
Amen. So why is the bride allowed to judge? And yet it's still Christ judging. Because Christ and the bride are one. They're one person.
Amen.
One man, one female. That's been the whole story of redemption. That's the whole point of the Bible. It's a love story. And that's why people never get it. They think it's a jealous, mean old God that stands up there and just got bored one day and decided to create people and boss them all around. You ain't toyed with my line or I'm going to zap you with lightning. That's what people envision him.
Sure.
That wasn't his point. He was loving God the whole time.
Uh-huh.
In the Old Testament, God extended grace time and time again. Even though they were under law, even though they wanted law, he still extended grace.
Uh-huh.
He should have killed David.
Right.
When David committed adultery, he should have killed him, according to the law. They both should have been stone dead. But God's grace reached out there, even amidst the law. Why? Because David was willing to take it. David's willing to repent. That's all God's ever wanted out of us. He don't want you to work back to him because you're going to be crawling up this mountain that's about 18 billion miles high and you're getting about 2 inches every 50 years. You're never going to get there. But if you'll just let Christ come take his angel wings and pick you up and throw you up on top, you'll be feeling pretty good pretty fast because he paid the whole way. He walked up Mount Calvary. You can't do it. You know, ran scared. You denied him no time at all. You'd been out of there.
Amen.
Well, how do you prove that, brother? Peter did it. He wouldn't even confess him. Much less you think you would have sat on trial and said, no, Mr. Priest, that's okay. That's okay, I'm sorry. I'll go be humble now. I'll just let you do what you want. But why? Because the Son of God was the only one that could do that. We couldn't have went to Calvary. You wouldn't have made it.
Right.
I even wonder if he created his own blood cells to be able to make it the whole way up there. He was bleeding so bad. Especially when we heard Brother Josh talk. Oh, man. Just to put yourself there to see what really happened. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
So God is the judge. Not man. Not any person. Not any revelation. Not any dogma. Not any group. There ain't no such thing as that. God is the judge.
Amen.
And he was revealed in Christ. That's the same person. Christ and God and the Father and the Father and the Son, it's all the same person. It's all the same person. And Christ is the same person in the bride. Just another form. The first seal, 63. And Christ is the revelation of God. He come to reveal God because he and God were the same. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And otherwise, you'd never know just what God was until he revealed himself through Christ. Then you can see. I used to think years ago that maybe God was angry with me, but Christ loved me. Come to find out, it's the same person. See, and Christ is the very heart of God.
Amen.
So when you see that Christ was so willing to save you, him being your judge, he was the judge before he got here, okay? He didn't just all of a sudden become judge. He was always judge. But he came to manifest that. And he came as the judge. And he reached out his arm and tried to save you? What are you afraid of? Why are we afraid of judgment anymore?
Amen.
We should be because he loves us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
I'm trying to find a good place to stop. We still know, and I hope you haven't forgot from a week ago, this judge is your advocate. He's your attorney. Even though he's the judge of the whole world, you've already come to judgment because you accepted Christ. And if you were in Christ, you were judged on the cross. You've already come to the judgment seat of Christ. That's why you can pass from death unto life. You won't come into the judgment. You're already on the other side.
Amen.
We'll judge the earth. We'll judge the world. Why? Because we've been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Not by our rights, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. That's why we're able to do this.
Yes, amen.
And I'm just going to have to end it here soon. Question and answers 53, I'm going to read this. Then look, you say, well now, Brother Branham, do you mean to tell me that that people's going to be there at the white throne judgment? The bride will never be judged. No, sir, she's in Christ. How do you get in Christ? By one Spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? Is that right? Now look here. The Bible said judgment was set and the books were opened. Is that right? Books of sinners. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And every man was judged thus. Is that right? And who was doing the judging? Jesus and the saints. So when it says that every man will give an account. Yeah, but we've already given our account. We took our book and said, here, Christ. And he took it through the sea of forgetfulness and bought our representation in the book of life. So we're on the other side now. We're not having to be judged. That was taken away. That book don't exist to God no more. It's in the sea of his forgiveness. What you are in the world, if you be born again, is gone.
Amen.
It can't come up. You can't resurrect it. Try. You try to be a sinner after you get the Holy Ghost. You'll be so miserable. You say, Lord, I'm ready to serve you again. Because I hate this.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, I might go through hard times as a Christian, but it's easier than trying to be a sinner. The way of transgression is hard.
Amen.
God takes care of us.
Sure he does.
Could you imagine trying to get your bills paid, trying to feed your kids and do all these things without the Lord? That's what these people do. You wonder why they go crazy. All that responsibility on you? Oh my. And then trying to be happy while you do it. Good luck, but the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Who is doing the judging? Jesus and the saints. He said he came and ministered unto the Ancient of Days, whose hair is white, whose hair is like wool, and said, 10,000 times 10,000 come unto him and minister to him in the judgment. So when he was standing there, he said there was 10,000 around him. Times 10,000. That's a lot of people, okay? That's a lot. And they were ministering unto him. He says, here Jesus returns as king and queen. Here Jesus returns as king and queen.
Amen.
My, I love it. The wedding's over and he's married. Here's king and queen standing there, and there stands the sanctified bunch. God said, stand to my right side here. Remember when they asked him, James and John came up and said, can one of us sit on your right hand and one on your left? He said, it's not for me to give, because that right side was already taken. Right. It was the bride's seat.
Amen.
And yeah, I believe James and Don were a part of that, and that's what he was trying to say. Like, look, you don't need to be on the left side either. Don't worry about that. Just be part of my bride. You'll be right here on Judgment Day.
Amen.
You want to be over there getting judged, you'll be right here, safe in my arms.
Yes, Lord.
The wedding's over. Here's King and Queen standing there. And there stands that sanctified bunch. God said, stand on my right side here. That's the book. That's the book was open with sinners. Get over to my left. Here's the one that had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Let's stand together.
Amen.
He shall be called the Judge. One time in Israel, they had a plague come down because they were whining and complaining. God had taken care of them, and they're still whining about it, saying, can you give us some quail or something? And God sent a judgment down, and it was killing a lot of the people. But God made a way back, and it was called the Brazen Serpent, where they'd take a serpent, and they made it out of brass. And if they would look at that serpent, they would be healed. What does that brazen serpent stand for? Sin judged. And look, it wasn't them having to go get molded into a thing of brass and die and have to. No, it was the serpent was being taken and judged. The sin was being judged. And how was the sin judged for us? In Christ. It wasn't his own sin. He wasn't a serpent. That's nonsense. Anybody tell you that Jesus had to fight off the serpent within him? No, he didn't have no serpent. He took upon himself our serpents.
Amen. Amen.
It would just be like you being in a, I don't know how to explain this. It'd be like me right here, and there's a whole bunch of snakes out there ready to come get me, and he jumps in the way and takes them all for me. That's not him. That's him taking it for me. And then he went and was judged on the cross, and God accepted that. It's the brazen serpent. As the serpent was lifted on the pole, he said, the Son of Man will also be lifted up. And if he was lifted up, he said, he'd draw all men unto him. How does he draw them unto him? Because we're forgiven.
Amen.
We could come back to his presence again.
Right.
And he wants to wrap his arms around us.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of the judge.
Amen.
He's in you.
Amen.
You're the judge of the world.
Amen.
There's nothing to be afraid of. The judge ain't worried about court date.
Right.
He ain't going to stress out about it. Oh man, it's going to be bad. No, I'm going to call the shots. Amen. It's going to be a good day.
Right.
So I get to say what happens. And if we ever get a revelation that we're already on this side, when you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're already over here. Oh, we'd walk victorious every day of our lives. How many wants to be that way?
Amen.
I know I do. Lord, don't let me ever doubt this.
Amen.
And it's so easy to doubt it. You get looking at that old mirror. You're looking at the old man that likes to spurn out that law of flesh coming. And you go, oh, Satan, you're trying to make me believe that again.
Amen.
It's time to just dismiss that.
Yes,
and say, I've been judged.
Amen.
Yeah, I know I did. I've already been judged. Christ already judged that for me.
Amen. Amen.
Took it away from me.
That's right.
Let's bow our heads. If you have anything in your heart you'd like to make clean, I pray you just raise it up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm ready for all my sins to go before me. I don't want nothing coming to the judgment. I want it so far gone in the blood that I can walk justified. Amen. If you have any need to, you can lift your hands to Him. I believe you receive it right now if you just ask Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to read your word. Thank you for taking our judgment upon yourself, Lord, that we wouldn't have to go there, Father. It's such a great thing to know these things about you. That you would be our advocate, that you would be our judge, and that you're the same person, and that your life came and lived in us and made us worthy, Lord, to do the same things you do. What a great revelation it is to us, Lord. We just pray that the Spirit will give us strength. Lord, anytime condemnation will come, anytime we make a mistake, Lord, we'd be quick to repent and to see the Spirit anoint us once again. Lord, we want to walk as real Christians. We pray you'd help us and lead us and guide us. Lord, we just pray that these words that we've spoken this morning would live in the hearts of the people, and there'd be so many testimonies coming back of your grace. We thank you for this time of service, this time of worship, and for preaching the word to us. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen, amen. How many's feeling good this morning? Well, I guess we'll have to sing a slow song, huh? Not a lot of feeling good just yet. How many feeling good this morning?
Amen.
Amen. There we go. Praise the living God. I think I got one I want to sing to you. What's that song? I know. My sins are gone. That's the name of the song, number 80. I love just thinking of that. My sins, they're not hidden. They're not put in a box. They're gone. Christ don't see them no more. Key E flat there.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me,
oh, let's give him praise. Come on now. Hallelujah.
Our sins are gone. Gone. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old time altar when God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone.
Oh, you're happy about that this morning.
The Lord took full possession. The devil did.
Oh, you're done saying hallelujah, Lord. Praise be to God.
My sins are gone. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from darkness, in the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sin.
Now look, Satan's gonna come tempt you.
When Satan comes to tempt me, and he tries to make me doubt, I say,
you just throw back in his face,
my sins are gone.
Hallelujah, Lord.
You've got me in trouble.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus got me out.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, my sins are gone.
They're underneath the blood.
They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Oh, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
I'm living now for Jesus.
I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because
my sins are gone.
Soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know.
Oh yes,
my sins are gone.
Oh, praise God.
There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh yes, in the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God.
Oh, when Satan comes to tempt me, one more time.
When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say,
hallelujah, Lord,
my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God.
Let's give him a clap off. Let's give him a clap off. Come on, church. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Sins are gone. Hallelujah. Sing that chorus.
There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh yeah, praise God, my sins are gone.
One more time.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, if you believe that, give him praise. Thank you, Lord, our sins are gone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh,
God. Now, I know that all sounded pretty good this morning, but I'm just letting you know, Satan ain't going to let you walk out of here without giving you a little fight.
Amen.
When he comes to make you doubt, just say, uh-uh, throw it back in his face. My sins are gone. I don't know what you're talking about, devil. I'm just trying to think of... I got one just to dismiss on that today. Let's go to 258. Let's just give the Lord some praise this morning.
Amen.
He's so worthy. I'm so grateful for what he's done for us. Does everybody know that song? 258, worthy. It goes something like this.